Thanks, John. Band. Good morning, everyone. Morning, Riley. Tuesday afternoon this week, I was sitting in the Ormond Anglican Church and attending a funeral. It was the funeral of Minister of the Maroota Anglican Church, Stuart Wynne, and he'd grown up in that church in Ormond, and it was like coming home for his family. He'd spent most of his life there, and in recent years in Rochester and in Maroota. And as I sat in that funeral service, I began to have a real wrestle with God. And I began to look around and ask a lot of questions, like, God, why would a 41-year-old minister serving you die unexpectedly, leaving three little boys and a wife who's pregnant? As I looked around that room, I saw other ministers that had been in Maroota. I saw other ministers that had lost their spouse who was ministers in Maroota. And I counted up that in the 13 years that I'd been here in this church as pastor, that church had had seven ministers and three of them had died. So I'm asking God a lot of questions and I'm wrestling with him, and I don't think it's wrong to wrestle with God and ask God questions about why. We've probably all had that at some point in our life. And I think, you know, we've just got to come back to some of the answers are, well, we live in a fallen world. Things happen. We don't always see the big picture of why things happen. We don't always understand, and there's sometimes that we'll ask questions that we may never know the answer to. But in all of that, you've got to learn to not blame God, but try and understand that God has a bigger picture and trust in God. There was a statement during that service that said, Stuart had made the most of his 41 years. And that statement stuck out to me because it reminded me of a recent Skype call that I'd had with Steve McCracken. And he asked me this question. He said, Matt, what does Father want you to do the most? What does Father want you to do the most? Let's pray. Lord, as we come around your word today, and we open it up, Lord, we pray for a revelation. Because sometimes we go through things in life and we don't always understand or know the reasons why. But what it does make us do is think we need to make the most of our life, of our opportunities, of the call that you've placed upon us. And in that is a very important question. Father, what do you want us to do? But not just what you want us to do, but what you want us to do the most. So we just pray your blessing on this word in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm thinking about this question. What does Father want me to do the most? Well, there's lots of things that Father wants me to do. And it's the same for you. You see, Father wants me to discover what his plan is for my life. And everyone here is going to have a different plan. It's going to be individual for you what Father God wants for your life. So I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, what does Father God want for me to do in discovering his plan for my life? And I've got four things here. The first one is salvation. The first thing that he wants you to do with your life is discover salvation, because everything flows from that. Until you get to that point, it's like you might have a plan for your life, but you don't really understand what God's plan for your life is. So for me, it all happened at the age of 17. 17 was the turning point in my life. 17 was the point where my life was not in a good state, where God was calling me, where all these things had come to a head. And at 17, I made a decision. Now, right then, I could have made a number of different decisions. And I've seen this happen in people's lives. When God is stirring and he's calling people, some people respond to that, as I did at that point in my life. But other people, response is, not now, God. And they put it off. You know, I love it that the word talks about that now is the time of salvation. I want to encourage you, if God is stirring something in your heart and he's calling you, particularly to salvation, don't come back with a response of later, God. It's not convenient for me right now, later, God. I've got this stuff in my life I've got to deal with first, later, God. I want to live my life, I want to have fun, later, God. And I've known of some people that have had that response and they've put it off and they've put it off and they've put it off. But you never know when your life may end. You never know what the future holds. You never know. You may not be around till you're 80 or 90 years of age and want to think about it then. So I want to encourage you that salvation is God's. It's the start of the turning point of God's, of you discovering God's plan for your life. Amen. And for me, it was at 17. And I made that decision. And that set the course for the rest of my life. Because then it was about me discovering, well, what's Father's plan for me rather than what is my plan for me? And there's a big difference in that, believe me. The second one there is, Father wants me to discover direction for my life. Now, everybody here has the same call. You are called to serve the Lord, to love him, to follow him, to make disciples. We all have one call. But when we need to look at this word direction, often direction for our lives can be very, very different from everybody else in this room. We all have, in a sense, one call, but we can have different giftings and different focus. And you can have a different focus and emphasis and gift upon your life that is very, very different from the person that's sitting next to you. It's about understanding what God's direction is for your life and then just knowing it, and you become at home with that. And it just feels like you're in the right place. You're doing the right thing. Yesterday when I was out on the farm, the 10-acre farm, it's huge, it's massive, compared to the last block of land that we lived on. And I was just sitting there thinking how good it was to just feel like you're at home and you're in the right place. And it's just that satisfying feeling. And it's the same when you're at church. And, you know, some people have told me that they've walked into this place and they feel like they've come home. That this is God's plan. This is where he wants them. So whether it's here or where it's wherever it is, we need to feel at home. We need to find out, God, what's your direction for my life? God, what's the focus? What are these giftings? What are these talents? Where I live, where I go to church, everything that I do, it's like when you find out his direction and you feel like you've found your place, it's just like you have that peace. You have that peace and that understanding. What's your ministry? I mean, we all have one call, but what's your ministry? Because your ministry can be very, very different. And it's great when you get a sense of, this is what I was born to do. This is what God's called me to do. This is the gifting that he's placed upon my life. This is the ministry that he has for me. Give us a wave if you're at the Together Conference. Okay. I'm not a creative person in a sense of arts. Maybe I'm creative in other things. I was always a little bit confused about why would someone paint something during a church service? Why would they do that? You know, if they're painting the walls, at least they're making the building look good. But why would they paint a painting during a church service? And then at the conference, Sage painted a painting. And I thought the way Daniel spoke on the Sunday morning and he tied it all in to everything that happened over the weekend about the painting and the effect that that had on Sandy and how she went out and she met that lady whose name was Sandra. How could I forget? And how everything tied in. And then suddenly I came away from that thinking, we are all so diverse and we all have so many different giftings. And suddenly the penny dropped of the importance that painting in that service and the effect that that had on a chain reaction of things. And I'd never really seen it that way before. And this is, I think, an important lesson for all of us, is we need to understand when someone is different from us, when someone has a ministry that is totally different from us, and we may not even understand it in a sense, but it's like they found their place and God will use them in an incredible way that may be totally different to us. And we shouldn't look at that as something that is confusing or something that is a competition, but it's something that adds strength to the body. Amen? So finding Father's plan for your life and direction is just like, I've come home, I have a peace, I was made for this, I was born for this, I'm in the right place, I know what I'm doing. Whether it's where you live, whether it's the church you go to, whether it's the ministry that you have, you need to get to that point. Because if you're not at that point, there'll probably be this searching, this unsettledness within your spirit. The third point there I've got about what does Father want me to do, I've got family. And I think it's pretty obvious that Father wants me to be a good husband, a good father, and a good pop. And I'm getting plenty of the pop practice lately. In fact, Layla and I, we had our first driving lesson during the week. We're getting started on 120 hours already. That's all good. But in that, there comes, once again, Father, what's your plan for me? What do you want me to do? And this is what part of my calling is he wants me to be a good husband. And how many husbands know that I'm still working on it, that you can understand? And it depends what day that I talk to Melissa about whether I get a good report about being a good husband or not, depending on what I've done. But he wants me to be a good father, a good husband, and a good pop. And in that, there's this responsibility that I have, and it's a journey, and I grow into it, of learning to protect my wife and my family, of learning to provide for my wife and my family and my kids, to love and to nurture and to teach and to train. And these are all responsibilities that I have that Father has placed upon me that is good, and I learn to grow and develop into them. And it's great, you know, when you get to a point as you put that into the life of your kids and they grow up and then they start to teach and train you. We had a very good night the other week. We had a bonfire at our house in the backyard. And You know, as I look around there and all the kids are there and did anyone see the Shep News yesterday? See the front page? So that little kid that used to pinch all my tools and leave them out in rusting in the grass is now on the front page of the Shep News with his container home. And now he teaches me things. It's great now. It's payback. I can go to his shed and borrow his tools and forget to return them. And then he rings me up. Dad, have you got... Oh, yeah, I've got that, yeah. But your kids grow up. And my five kids have all got different qualifications that I would never have. And they can teach me things. We're at the bonfire the other night. And we're sitting around having a barbie. And all of a sudden, a rabbit comes out of the middle of the fire. And the fire had been burning for about an hour. So whether it was in a burrow underneath it or whatever, all of a sudden I'm staring and this thing is on fire. And I didn't know what it was. This thing is on fire and it runs out and it runs straight into Steph and gets caught in her feet. And Steph starts doing what is now known as the rabbit dance. She went, and then this rabbit took off. It's one of those family memorable moments. And then Tom put it out of its misery. But your kids will teach you as they grow up. And that's a great thing. What about your church family? So your church family is also the place where you can come and feel at home, where you can love, where you can put into people's lives, but they will also teach and put into your life. Amen? Right, the last point there I've got on what does Father want me to do is work. And whether it comes to work, a job or career, that's an important part of a lot of people's lives. And I just look at Laura, for example, who's recently got this job as a journalist. And it's like she's just found her niche. She's found a job that she loves. She's found a job that brings her fulfillment. She's found a job that gives her great influence. And, you know, writing about homeless people and things like that and these things that are important to our community. And it's like, once again, all these things, whether it's salvation, direction, family, work, career, all those sorts of things, they're all really important. Every one of those is super important. And God wants you to find your direction and where all these things fit into your life. They are really, really, really important for each and every one of us. But you know what? When that question was posed to me, what does Father want you to do the most? There's something else that's more important than every one of those. It's more important than salvation. It's more important than direction. It's more important than family. It's more important than work. What does he want me to do the most? So I'm sitting there on Tuesday and all this is flooding back to me and I'm pondering this question. What does he want me to do the most? And if you want to turn your Bibles, it came back to this scripture that many of you will know, and it's in Matthew 22, 37 to 39. So Jesus replied, and he said this, he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." So what does Father want me to do the most? And what does that scripture look like for me? Well, to love God with all my heart, soul, mind and strength, that basically means with everything that is within me. So why is that most important? When you think of love, you think of relationship, you think of time, you think of spending time together with someone that you love. And to love God with all your heart means that I need to love Him and spend time with Him and in His presence. So what does that look like for me? Because God is speaking to me about this particular thing. What does it look like for me? Well, for me, this is something that needs to change in my life, with the fact that because of who I am and the position that I have and where I am in my life, what that means for me now is that I need to be more deliberate in about spending time with Him. That's not just, you know, a little bit in the morning or praying through the day or, you know, a little set devotion, but it's about actually getting away and having, you know, time, a half a day or a day a week, or where I can hear from the Holy Spirit about revelation for my life, for my family, for this church, and for this community. It's time away from the office. It's time away from the admin. It's time away from the tasks. And all those things are good, but all those things demand of your time. And yet, if my time and life is consumed by all those things, then there's this hole, this thing that is probably the most important of everything, but can easily get neglected. And if you think about your own life, you think about all the responsibilities that you have, the demands on your time, the things that you have to do, and all these things, that the majority of them are probably really, really good and important, but what does Father want you to do the most? So I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking that the scripture talks about the church and the gifts that He gave and the fivefold ministry. And it talks about that the apostles, that their primary role was a spiritual role. So don't neglect the preaching and the teaching and the prayer and all that sort of stuff. And they appointed deacons that would look after the needs of the widows and distribution of food and all those sorts of things. So I think depending on the role and where you're at, there's some things that become priority and important. And if you fail to do those things because you're doing all the other tasks, then it's like there's a hole there. And for myself, I'm a hands-on sort of guy. I like to build. I like to be part of the Three Wise Plumbers, that exclusive club that everyone else is trying to get into, but they can't, all right? And it's very easy to be practical and do all the practical things, and yet there's a point in my life where I've got to learn more to step away from that into the spiritual things that allow the revelation to flow. Because if I want to fully realize God's plan for my personal life, God's plan for my family, God's plan for this church, God's plan for this community, then there needs to be a change and a stepping into which will allow more revelation to flow. Do you understand? What does that look like practically? What do I need to do? Because often we talk about we just need to have a relationship with God. We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is make a decision. In a sense, that's true. There's nothing that we can do to earn salvation. All we have to do is accept it, because Jesus has paid the price and He's done everything. But this love the Lord your God, if you look at love as a verb, it's a doing word. Well, what do we actually do? Because when we want to love him with all our heart and our mind and our strength. It's like everything that we are, the way we feel, the way we think, our body, everything is encompassed into this. And there's a doing side of this. So what does it mean to love God with all your heart and to spend time with him? Well, some doing things that, to me, it looks like the feeling, it's a choice. Sitting there questioning him, God, what is going on? Sometimes we feel all loving and sometimes we feel the total opposite. See, love can be a choice to spend time. It's a choice to pray. It's a choice and to wait and to listen of what he wants to say. Journal. It can be a choice to do it. It's a choice to obey. It's and to love God is a choice to go. So there's a number of things that Father wants me to do. But the one thing that he wants me to do the most is to love him with all that I have. Because everything else flows out of that. I said to someone this week, we were talking about a situation, and I said, I don't think that Melissa and I would still be married if I didn't give my life to the Lord and make Jesus the center of our marriage. I don't think I would still be married today. Because it would be my plan and her plan, not God's plan. And that's the difference. So this loving God with everything that we have, everything else flows out of that. That will affect everything that you do. That affects all these great things that sometimes we put first before God, because they're tangible and they're here on earth, and you know, like finding the plan for your life, your family, your career, you know, all those things, that your finances, your health, all those things that are really important, but they're not number one. So when we learn to put what should be number one, number one, then that affects all these things without putting all these things first and trying to make it work. That affects loving your neighbour as yourself. That affects what is our next scripture, and it's also in Matthew. Isn't Matthew a great book? 28:18-20. So we've talked about the greatest commandment, now we're talking about the Great Commission, because this is another thing that flows out of that. Then Jesus came to them. Verse 18. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. If the band would like to come back, please. So in conclusion, what does Father want me to do? But we're not leaving it there, because we talked about lots of things that he wants me to do. But what does he want me to do the most? And that's to love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And out of that will affect the way that I love people. Out of that will affect the way that I do everything. Out of that will affect the way that I go for the Great Commission. So the question that I've pondered this week and thought through, and because it's been a different couple of weeks, the question that I want to leave you this morning as we close our service is not the question, what does Father want you to do? Because there's that could be different for everyone. But the question I want to leave with you is, what does Father want you to do the most? Let's all stand. So just as you're pondering that question, we're going to sing a song. And that may just be a question that that you go take away with you from this service today and think and ponder and pray about. Or it may be that you want to respond to that and come out the front and have someone stand and pray with you. Once again, you know, the front is open for prayer. It's open for needs. It's open for ministering to people for where they're at. And if you're here today and you haven't taken that first step, and that is to ask Jesus to come into your life, to take away your sin, to give you a new start and a new direction, to come into relationship with Him, then that's the first step in all of this. So if you haven't done that and you'd like to do that, and if there's a stirring within your heart, then don't rationalize and say, I'll do it later. Do it now. If you need healing, if you need prayer for anything, this is the time to respond. So what does God want you to do the most? Amen. Let's sing.